It's the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Garrett is hanging out behind the glass, and this segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. So, got an interesting story going on with the NBA right now. Kawhi Leonard was allegedly paid $28 million for a no-show job with the Clippers to get around the NBA salary cap. Pablo Torre broke the news. Where do we start with this?
I was hoping you would tell
me. Where do we start
with
this,
guys? There's a lot to unpack in this conversation, boy. No, and it was, you know, evidently the report that Pablo Torre had was the team facilitated a no-show endorsement deal with a now bankrupt, check this out, tree planting company.
Okay.
A tree planting company. I don't know how to take this, guys, and there's been a ton of back and forth. I know that if it's ever proven that this is exactly what happened, which I think is going to be hard to do, that Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, would be in a they forced the previous owner of the Clippers out, and this would be, to me, even a bigger deal than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is absolutely not something that you can partake in as an owner of any kind of, you know, sports franchise. So, I don't know. You're like, where do we start? I'm like, dude, your guess is as good as mine, because there is so much out there in terms of this, and this is an awful look.
Well, the first problem is that Steve Ballmer is the richest owner, I think, in the NBA. He might be the richest owner and one of the richest owners in sports. He's up there. I don't know all of these guys' worth. I don't know where the Glazers come in. I don't know where the Bombers come in. I don't know, you know, where all these guys are, but he is loaded. But this is circumventing the salary cap like we haven't seen in a while. It, you know, you're basically able to pay someone to stay I think it was $28 million, is that what you said?
Yep.
More than anybody else can do it, and you're doing it illegally. I'm going to go back, and I don't know, Mike, I don't even know if you remember ever hearing about this, but back in the 80s and 90s, there was a guy named Eddie DeBartolo Jr. He owned the 49ers.
Yeah.
He went to jail, or he got into some kind of trouble about some kind of legal thing with the government, some kind of fraud thing, but he also was ripping off the NFL in a way where I say ripping off. He was circumventing the salary cap in this very exact way.
Yeah.
He would give guys like $20,000 to show up at whatever the monetary term is, not important, to show up at events or to be a part of companies so he could pay them more.
Yeah.
And the NFL, you know, there was a whole thing about this with the NFL, and that's why eventually he was kind of forced out as the owner. That's why the York family owns it. And look, I don't know the story, you know, every single detail to exactly, but that's the gist of it, right?
Right.
Would the league try to force Ballmer out, being as powerful as he is financially? I don't know. But I read something, and I don't even know where I saw it, because I just see stuff, and you're like, wait, who said that? Where did this come from? But that maybe the Knicks were going to be investigated with Jalen Brunson about this. I don't know if that's true or not. But I can tell you, this is an egregious violation to me, because there are a lot of owners that aren't doing this, and it hasn't helped the Clippers win anything.
Yes.
But it's pretty freaking ridiculous.
Well, and two, this has happened in the NBA before. You remember Joe Smith back in 98, 99,
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was his second contract. He turned down an $80 million extension for like a $2 million contract, and then it was like, wait, what? That one, the owner, I believe, and the GM got like suspended for one season, but they got docked like 5 first-round draft picks, like something crazy. So I don't know. Since then, we've seen owners be forced out of the NBA, which I would not write that off on this one, but you're right. He's extremely loaded. I do want to read the tweet from Mark Cuban, though, because I think it's important to kind of give the other side of this equation. Cuban says, I'm on Team Ballmer. As much as I wish they circumvented the salary cap, Steve isn't that dumb. If he did try to feed KL money, Kawhi Leonard, knowing what was at stake for him personally in his team, do you think he would let that company go bankrupt? Knowing all creditors would be visible to the world, they got scammed, along with many others, crimes for which they pleaded guilty last week. And he said, it's sad that Pablo Torre didn't take the time to find out how these scammers pulled off their scam. the idea that the default is Ballmer is the bad guy is going to backfire on him. So,
well, it didn't backfire on Pablo with all the Belichick stuff, because he seemingly was spot on with all that. So
yeah,
I don't know when Pablo Torre became an investigative reporter. I've said that before.
As soon as he launched a podcast, this is the time for the podcast.
I guess the thing for me is if you're ESPN, you let Pablo Torre out of your contract. You know, you had him at ESPN and you weren't having him do this investigative reporting for you. Why? Why did Pablo Torre leave ESPN and suddenly become one of the best sports investigative reporters? Because like in the last 6 months, he's broke multiple. I don't remember him ever breaking a story at ESPN. He was like an around the horn guy.
I was going to say, and around the horn doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Right? Does that coincide with one another? Like,
no.
Was that part of his contract? They were like, we're not doing around the horn, so we don't need you.
No, what I'm saying is why was he trying to break stories at ESPN and it was getting suffocated?
Oh, I know what you're saying. I'm just giving the other side, like, maybe they're just dude, we're not doing around the horn anymore. You're really not.
No, I get that. But my thing is he never broke any stories there. How did he not break any stories there? Now he's got all these ways to break
a personal decision pivot in the middle of a career. You know what, man? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of writing these puff pieces. I think I'm going to go investigate somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think he has before. I just don't think any of them has been as big as the last two he's kind of put out.
I just find it odd that to me, it would have been one of those things where, hey, I've got this story. No, you're not. We're partners. We're not going to do that. We're going to silence this a little bit. And I'm not saying that's what happened.
I get where you're going. It just feels like, at this point, feels like a little bit of a leap. But.
There's shady business everywhere, especially at the four-letter network.
But maybe it's more so, like, it just sounds ridiculous, but like a scheduling thing. When you are employed like that, you have a lot of tasks you got to handle. Now, a little bit more freelance free time.
Yeah, that's fair.
To be able to dive deeper.
I also think that when you're tipped off about things like this and like the Belichick, like you were talking about, I think that would probably steer you. You know what I mean? If you knew you had just a massive story and you were a few weeks away from being like a free agent journalist, that, you know, you knew you were going to go there. Like, you'd be like, you know what, man? This is the time.
Right.
It's time to launch Pablo Torre 2.0. You know what I mean? And throw this thing out there and make sure I'm getting this story, to stack my pockets a little bit.
I just wonder what kind of, if I'm the NBA or if I'm Pablo Torre. And I know Garrett told me that reportedly Mark Cuban's going to go on Pablo's podcast.
Huh.
But here's the thing for me. What kind of skeletons you got in your closet, Cuban, or the NBA? Now, he doesn't outright own the team anymore.
Right, I was going to say.
He's sold majority interest, but he still has ownership in the Mavericks. But I'm like, what do you got going on over there?
Is there a chance that the truth of this Kawhi Leonard Clipper deal just is like in the middle? Like, is there a chance that, like, yes, he signed a team friendly contract,
but he didn't. He didn't really sign that team friendly.
I mean, it was 4 year once. He could have gotten more money than that. 4 year 170 or whatever it was.
Oh yeah, that's just. I mean, that's.
I know it's outrageous, but it's NBA money.
Also,
is outrageous.
He also plays like 30 games a year these days.
Yeah, I know. But my point being is that, like, is there any chance it was down the middle and he's just like. I'm going to sign this deal because I know that this tree planting company is also out there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if they're going to give me 28, that's actually more. What do you got, Garrett?
So supposedly he's going after Jalen Brunson's contract. So speaking of those team-friendly contracts, Jalen Brunson signed a very famously team-friendly contract, so they can bring in a lot of people. So that might be the next big thing they jump into.
Yeah, I know you were recent. I said that earlier. I just didn't know who I saw it from. I couldn't remember who I saw it from, who I confirmed. But yeah, it's good. And that's, again, but now I'm like, but let's start looking at all these. But that dude, I have a real problem with it. If this is true, I have a real problem. Huh?
It stinks.
Yeah, well,
it stinks. It makes me mad.
I don't care what you want to say it is. It's cheating.
Yeah.
Sorry, but it is. It just so happened that you picked the wrong player to do it with because that guy doesn't hardly play in the league anymore. He's always on the bench, injured.
As always, Mic'd Up, brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. And guys, we all have those hometown heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are a little bit different because the Atlanta metro area is so massive. You have to kind of decide, am I from Atlanta or am I from Paulding County?
Well, I'm from both. If I'm in Georgia, I'm from Pawling County. If I'm in, like, you know, I don't know, South Florida, I'm like, where are you from? Dallas, Georgia. Where?
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Okay, how far is that from Atlanta? Like, about 40 minutes.
What do you think I'm supposed to say then? If I'm like, hey, where are you from? I'm from Pensacola. Like, where? What do I say?
Stay at 30A.
You've lost your mind. That's hilarious.
Florida. You just said Florida.
Yeah, the panhandle.
Yeah, the panhandle. Yeah, exactly. The central time zone part of Florida. You know, that side.
Yeah.
Exit 7 on I-10. You know what I mean? Way close to Alabama.
Just say panhandle.
Anyways, so back in Pensacola, we are always love our athletes, obviously. A ton of big athletes come from Pensacola. My heroes growing up were always guys like Derrick Brooks was from Pensacola. Emmitt Smith, obviously, probably the most famous Pensacolian of all time. How about Don Sutton? Don Sutton was from Pensacola. Bubba Watson.
Very nice.
Like, a lot of good ones, right? A lot of good. Justin Gatlin's from Pensacola. But Roy Jones Jr. was one of those guys that always wore his hometown on his sleeve and was always very, very proud to be from Pensacola. And he wouldn't say it. I mean, he would win his boxing matches and win titles, and he would go, Pensacola in the house. All right, so we always kind of looked up to him as a hero. Well, if you guys don't know this story, back in 1988, he was an Olympian. He was 19 years old. He was in a gold medal match, and the guy he was facing was Park Si-hoon, I believe is how you say his name. So this boxing match was in South Korea. The boxer he was facing in the gold medal match was South Korean.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it was very evident to everybody involved in the situation that Roy Jones won this match. All right, his margin of total punches 86-32. All right, 20-3 in round one, 30-15 in round two, 36-14 in round three. All right, the judges said nope, it wasn't Roy Jones. The South Korean is actually going to win this match. Now, after this match, all these judges were suspended for 6 months. Two of them were eventually kicked out for the remainder of their career, never allowed to judge a boxing match ever again. All right, why do I bring this up? Well, because recently it's been uncovered. This actually happened a couple of years ago, back in 2023, but the story finally came out just this week that Park Si-hoon traveled all the way to Pensacola, Florida to bring Roy Jones Jr. his gold medal and wanted to admit to him that he knew that he lost that match and everybody else involved. Even one of the judges has admitted since then that he just wanted to have one voter in favor of the South Korean because it was in South Korea and he didn't think anybody else would actually award the match to the South Korean, and everybody did exactly the same thing.
Wow.
It's kind of a tragic story. The South Korean boxer actually went through, like, he quit boxing afterwards because there was so much ridicule around his win that he never boxed professionally. And he actually overcame a couple of suicide attempts and other things that because he went in such a deep depression. He actually, years later, became a PE teacher in South Korea, and he didn't want anything to do with it. So he shows up in Pensacola just a couple years ago, and through a translator, he says, "This has always been yours, and it is yours now, and I want you to have it." Gives him the gold medal. Just a crazy story.
Really cool gesture. You talk about dirty, which I'm like the whole stuff with the cheating and everything. Is there anything dirtier than the Olympic committee?
There's really not.
And the IOC or the whatever they're called.
The judges go to, you know, the Winter Olympics, the ice skating. Yeah, things yeah, yeah. Like
it
that,
is though. All so dirty, man.
What was the documentary called? Icarus? Where the
Icarus?
Russian. Icarus.
You know, like the Greek mythology, Icarus.
Yeah, I know. What's funny is I took Latin. I don't know who.
Wow.
You didn't know that word. Don't even look at this man sitting over here acting like he knew that word.
I'm sorry.
Stop it.
If I saw Icarus on a piece of paper, I would know how to pronounce it.
No, you would not.
Icarus.
You are so full.
You don't know the legend of Icarus?
No, I don't.
You don't know? Yes, you do.
Yes, you
flew
do.
Flew too close to the sun, yes. and his wings melt.
They melted.
Yeah.
No,
are you serious?
No. I am not going to let you get away with this, Bo.
Oh, no.
I know the legend of Icarus.
Icarus and his father were flying off the island, and one flew too close to the sun.
Icarus.
I guess they don't
very
teach
common
that
expression.
Down in Pensacola.
Anyway.
Flew too close to the sun.
To wrap a bow on it. That's one of my hometown heroes, and he was finally a wrong was made right for Roy Jones Jr. I love to hear it.
That's amazing. I do want to continue kind of on this theme because I think a lot of us have some famous people from our hometowns. I got a big one. I went to high school with a big one. I've got the yearbook that said he was most likely to be famous. I'll reveal.
And he was.
I mean, I'm from Duluth, so it's pretty obvious. But I'll reveal that next. And we've also got the wake-up call. If you have a hometown hero, someone famous from your neighborhood, someone you went to school with, call in right now, 404-726-0929. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service, along with the wake-up call. We've also got a life of squid.
Well, imagine watching $1 million sink to the bottom of the ocean. And I'm not talking about that scene in Titanic. Next, Morning Shift Sports Radio 910 of the Game and
the Odyssey app.